This is June 13th, 1992, and we're gathered at the usual bookstore place for a meeting with the commander. Greetings, Commander.
Good afternoon. Are we on? Do we have... Knock, knock.
How about now? Yeah, all right. Maybe turn it down a little. I appreciate your coming. It looks like, regardless of how many weekends we thought we were going to have off to goof around, we don't seem to get any, do we? On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. I welcome new ones. I especially welcome back ones who've been here before. That means they weren't spooked completely out the first time. There's not any other way, precious friends, to have our meetings and cover some topics that we must cover in this little nucleus here. So I have to ask that you ones bear with us while we do a little catching up. I'm especially appreciative of this legal book. I think maybe it would be a good idea if, well, I don't know, Oberle, if he gets the floor, I may not get it back. We're making some progress on the property. The property itself is of no consequence as far as a dwelling is concerned. It suited the need for what was necessary at the time, and the property upon which it sits is more valuable, actually, than any kind of dwelling that you could have on it. This would not seem to be the way it is if you are a mother and a grandmother and you need to live from day to day and have offices, etc. But it sits on the lower edge, the lower front edge of that crystal. And this was the placement that we chose. And we must have it, and we're going to have the land behind it. Have to is a silly statement. We don't have to have anything. All we need is a good relationship with God, and we've got everything. But I'd like to say that finally, in appeals court in Fresno, we won a round. They have granted a stay in spite of two or three rulings by Superior Court judges, which means that they have overruled those judges and have allowed a stay until such time as the appeal can be heard. They did several very unique things in the Fresno court. This will be a panel of judges, and they have requested all backup information in triplicate. That means that they fully intend to have each judge have the entire case as presented with the ability to go back and research it. The case in point is of zero importance other than what happens and what the law is allowed to do, and how much corruption there is. You see, there's no way that you can get away without understanding that this one case is tangled up with the Santa Barbara Savings fiasco, which is hooked in with Keating fiasco, which is hooked in with Duke Majan, Ronald Reagan, and George Bush. But you have to understand that George Bush and Ronald Reagan are bitter enemies. They have two factions going in this nation of yours. One is the Zionist banking elite cartel. The other is the Zionist banking San Luis Obispo connection. And for ones of you who do get back to being lawyers, you'll appreciate the fact that William Clark, Justice William Clark of San Luis Obispo, is one probably of the most dangerous, vile men ever on your place. And this is the one who staged and then disappeared afterwards the Korean Airlines 007 big, phony, but very deadly operation. I could sit here and talk on and on about this. The important thing is, and what these lower court attorneys have been trying to do, is push through a case, a doctrine which has been basically approved up to till now, and courts are working on the assumption that it is valid law. This is the way the courts act. They just act like it's law. And it's something called the Dench Doom, and they now call it a doctrine. If this becomes law, this means that any government, any savings and loan, any bank, any time that you could be a week late on your mortgage can come in and take your property, evict you, and basically you will not be heard in court. They can do it without allowing hearing. Now, is it really that bad? No, it's not that bad. It's worse. And that's what this case has come down to being. And from one judge to another, the instructions are passed. You're to rule against them, and you're to rule against them on the basis of the Dench Doom doctrine, so that when the case goes away, when these people finally give up, it will have become law, because there are cases waiting all over the United States to be ruled on according to the way this one goes. So the attorneys are quite happy. They're working now around the clock. Mr. Tipps got to bed yesterday morning at 6 o'clock a.m. But they're beginning to learn something. One, you never assume anything. Two, you're always on top of the game. And three, you do whatever is required, because Hatton is relentless. I don't intend for you to lose, and you must win on the basis of what you have in this world where you experience. And there are ways to do it. I'm tired of quarreling with everyone. Nope, you can't do it that way. Oh, yes, you can. Let's show the world that you can. Let's quit giving me "we can't." I don't like that word. At any rate, we got to stay. They're in the house for at least 30 days, at which point then you take the next step, and then the next one, and then the next one. It isn't going to go away, but it can just hang in there forever, and we have some attorneys learning something, and you can tell that the Constitutional Law Center is making some impact just by having gotten into the Demjanjuk case. They seriously are considering giving that man his freedom instead of hanging him like they tried to do. And that's against the Israeli courts. So let's give them some great honor. They are working very, very hard, and they have their own special sets of problems up in that place in Sacramento. Everybody is working on their proverbial shoestring, and it's difficult. But we're going to get it done. I have several bits and pieces of news that we should mention here. Audrey and Eric are gone. You know that. They went to pick up Lee Mengay in Alabama. They flew down. That got confused, as all things do on your planet anymore. And they didn't arrive until midnight, and the Ryder truck rental place was completely confused, but that's fine, because we had to find them. And by the fact that they were entangled, basically Kathy was able to locate them, and then we could get messages back and forth. Mrs. Mengay will not be coming here, nor will the 10 dogs. So all of you can both feel a little bit sad and an awful lot of relief. I do not mean to be unkind, but this woman called the FBI and said that ones were expected out to kidnap her and abduct her to this foreign place and take all her money, etc. Now she stirred up the town until it was incredible, and then called here and told ones in the office that when that Ryder truck showed up, they were going to have those people arrested, and she didn't know what to do about it, and she didn't know who'd done all this, and she didn't this and she didn't that when she did it herself. So Audrey and Eric went first to the sheriff. Now I want you to hear this because of the humor involved. She said that the law would be out there with the FBI, and they had already been there, in fact, and this was all set up, and that's not quite the way it was. The sheriff said, "Oh, Mr. Peterson, I don't think you know what you're doing, but I'll not only take you out there, I will pay you to take her to California." Audrey and Eric began to suspect there might be a problem, and they really didn't know what to do about it. Now, I know that all of you are wondering, then why did we go through all of this pain and misery? Can you imagine how big a problem it is to get anything done through you ones? Let me just go down the list of things that this impacts. And just, I also have another humor, though. Another woman who is also 80 didn't like what was going on in her world either, and I believe she's in South Carolina, and she called and wanted to know if they could circle back by South Carolina and pick her up, that she had her house for sale and she's ready to come to California. So we have some wondrous information scattering across the world, and you're going to have to always evaluate whatever is confronting you. Now, why did I let this go so long? I'm going to start right at the top, and I hope you'll make sure that Eric and Audrey get this. They had arranged to be gone for a week. I have not been able to get the two of them to spend one solitary day alone in their own relationship in 5 years. So I said to them, shut it down. Do not even go back to the house. Don't cross go. Don't collect $200. Call the sheriff and send word that you were there. She had called the FBI herself, and therefore that is deceiving. And when you make effort to deceive God, it really doesn't pay. You see, what it proves is that she enjoys whatever confusion there is that goes on about her. She is continually into the sheriff's department. She causes trouble with her neighbors. They have offered even free of charge to get her a place and pull her trailer into town where she can be cared for, and she refuses. I'm not being unkind to her. I love her dearly. She has shared greatly with us, and she has given us an opportunity to really look at ourselves. And the greatest thing that ones in this place can pat yourself on the back is that you did everything you were asked to do. And God recognizes it. You did it without question, beyond, well, what in the world are we going to do with all those animals? But let's look at that. It caused you to go out and look to see what was available. The last place you looked was at the Turner property in Cummings Valley. It's an old piece of property. Some of you around this place will know Turner. you'll know his wife. She works for Allstate. But they go back a long, long way. But you see, what happened is that you found the perfect, perfect piece of property in Cummings Valley to begin what you need to begin, and the Inns family will be here to live on the 27th of this month. Mom and Dad will come with them to make their evaluation. They want to move also. Now, never underestimate the connections God sets up. Bob Turner has many children, like seven himself, that he raised out on that place. They're very, very well-to-do people, extremely successful, and he owns property across this nation. He was a professional football player, which some of you will really appreciate. Now that he's nearing 60, he's gotten, like so many humans, a little bit bigger around the middle and fewer muscles on the arms, you know. An extremely active man, extremely involved in everything ever in the past going on around this village. And it was a contact that it was time again to make. It was fun for me to watch he and Oberle doing the Tennessee waltz while each tried to dig out of the other one what they knew about each other. You know, when you start name dropping and then neither will use any names, it gets a little nerve-wracking. But Bob is a reader of The Liberator, and he knew who Dorma is. His big concern is how many might end up out there on that piece of property. Well, no cult, no. I mean, I can't help it if Inzes have a whole bunch of kids, you know. That's their problem. But it's a family thing. He was a little worried about Leon, too, because Leon has tattoos. Leon, you know, he keeps giving us all these problems. So Oberle explained who Leon is, and, well, he allowed is how if you travel around in the circus that probably you'd end up getting a few tattoos. You know, there's some places acceptable for that, and that's like the Hells Angel Motorcycle Gang, the Navy, and the circus. And for the rest of you, Leon is a high wire artist and did, in fact, until I asked him if he would relinquish it this summer, train Circus of the Stars people to do that. Don't ever think whatever you may be doing has no purpose. Everything is connected to everything. And there's always a reason. It may not be visible to you at the moment. I have here in front of me several things, if I can get her to look at them. We go through this periodically, you know, and I let her cop out. And I don't think I'm going to do that. We're going to have to struggle here till I can get her to look at them. And I'm not going to win. It's all right. We've written all morning. And then we have another half of tape dictated, so our days are just so long. I'll let it go for a minute. I'm going to ask in just a minute for George to give us an update. This group, I don't know what else to call it. You know, when you're in business and you are working and you have people in the offices whose jobs interchange and then it's separated, I don't know what else to call it but a group. But please don't think of it as the bookstore cult when we talk about the separation into Nevada, Carson City area. and that which will stay here. But I'm going to ask them about that in a minute, because they have located a dwelling which they feel will be adequate. And I believe their intentions are to go about the time ends has come. There's going to be a lot of this going on, I guess. I've got two more pieces of document in front of me that I'm going to respond to at this meeting, because I don't have time to sit and write personal letters. And yet we've got two sets of people who undoubtedly need to be here as we move along. Also, our famous priest, Father Cleary, had an opportunity to go over to the Philippines and to Hong Kong and around into that area and do some investigating for us. Because I'll lay it right where it's at, precious ones. The Philippines is where the new city will rise out of Lemuria. I'm not going to give you a specific location. I pinned it down pretty much for them, and then I gave them a series of clues. What I did was really dump a heavy trip on them when they should have been out of there, because pretty soon these particular people had picked up CIA and tails all over, and Father Cleary's passport had expired a day, and it required bribery and a lot of threat on our part to leave him alone. We've got pull in the Philippines, precious ones. Don't for a minute forget it. And I don't care who's a spy and who isn't. Because for everyone, you've got two spies. We're not doing anything. This elite, government, military, whatever it is on your place, knows that we're no threat to them as such. They're going to go down anyway. And we offer some possibilities for some of them to, quote, hang in there and stay alive. But a lot of craft coming and going out of the Philippines these days, and especially off the southern islands of the Philippines. I believe that Ed described it as the ones on the little island thinking that the tour bus had arrived, filled with very handsome, very tall, blue-eyed, blonde-haired people. And it really helps their industry, tourism. Well, you're over in the world there where you are connected with what are called the Atmospherians, what I'm writing about right now, known as the Nephilim. Some of these cosmic objects are back in your neighborhood, and as you come into the cycle changing, it makes it very easy to change out the Nephilim. Some are dropped off, some are picked up, some are rearranged. You're in a time of interaction with the cosmic command and the fleet, and over there, you don't have the same problem that you do around this country. They all know us, and the Federation and Galactic Federation fleet are fully recognized. They just had a meeting on the mountain and got quite a light show. Had Ed been able to stay one more night, we would have picked him and his companion up. We had an arrangement to rendezvous, but it got too dangerous. But I would like Ed to share with us right now, he or Mike, whichever Mike was with him, and then we'll talk a little bit. You see, they are already in the reflection process of building there what you will be building here. They're already growing algaes. They're already building their security facilities. They're handling it a little bit differently because they had Mother Maria, Victoria, telling them what to do with the material, how to build, what kind of a support structure, what kind of a structure, and they built there for the, I would call it the tradition of the native element, the old Aboriginal element of honoring the eight directions. You thought you just had four, but you've got eight. And as the Plains Indians will build their teepees and their hogans with the eight wedges, this is the basic kind of dome structure they are building, with overhanging eaves, making porches around it. You're going to need this too. They are making it, I would call it, pie-shaped wedges, which form almost a pyramid on the top. But if you just look at it, and I have brought the drawings that Ed brought back here so that you architects can look at it and see that there are many variations of the dome structure that's very feasible. And these fit into slots exactly like Jack Donahue is building. And interestingly enough, from this Nephilim, this Atmospherion, who dwelt with him, who spent time with him, they were given the ingredients, if you will, of the substance that protects from all fallout. So you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You just go with what you're allowed to put up now, and that can later be either sprayed on the top or sprayed from underneath. You don't have to consider that you are the only one in the world trying to do something. And it was extremely important that someone from here go over there and meet with those people. And Ed could do that. Ed and Mike both could do that because Ed is a priest. Once a priest, always a priest, whether you like it or don't like it. But it's accepted there. And you see, the word Catholic simply means universal. I have a little trouble when I write Catholic and I want a little bitty letter. It's like Israel. You're the Israelis with a little I. You're the chosen. And Catholic, the word with a little C, simply means universal. And that one's going to come again. That one's going to be rebirthed. And I had to remind Ed not to get carried away, you know. Don't let the tool become the object. Keep the tool to achieve the goal. But I'd sure appreciate it. I'll shut my mouth. And I'll let Ed tell you about a little bit about his trip, maybe about the places of the lion and a few of these other things.
Yeah, the places of the lion. These are gorgeous places. They're everywhere. We got one right in our backyard, right behind Doris and Overly's house. The lions all over the place. This is David.
Hey.
In the mic. In the mic. Pardon. Yesterday we went walking and we came to a place of the lions. John was telling us they had 15 lions there. And so that'll come to something one of these days too.
It most certainly will.
and
aren't you dying to know?
No, as dumb as I am, I know already exactly what that's for. I even told Mike about it this morning.
Well, I want you ones to know that that's a lot bigger than it looks on the side of that little hill. It was a little hill, wasn't it?
Yeah, we don't need to talk about
it. I mean, if you're a mountain climber, that was nothing.
Yes. But what I want to say, first of all, is thank God for you. Period.
Well,
bless you.
I'm going to accept that in behalf of my crew over here. We're going to have a lot of fun here on in.
We are really having fun. Not me, not Mike, but all of us are having fun. A few of us are beginning to get it. You really understand that, boy, this is really great.
Oh, well, I am so relieved. I thought it was never going to happen.
And it all starts like this. Father Eitan sort of bugs you and tells you you're no good and you can't get anything done. And then all of a sudden you decide that you're going to do something. So around the 1st of May, and Mike comes along and he says, we got a problem. We got to get 50 grand somewhere. So I says, well, if we got to get it, I guess we got to get it. So I call up all my friends, ask each one of them, I need 50 grand. Will you give it to me or won't you? And they all said no.
Right.
And Mike calls up all his friends, and they all say no. But we still need the 50 G's. Because if we don't get it, why, it's not going to happen. So I had a big talk with Father Eitan one morning and says, we're going to do it today. And regardless, whatever I am, whatever I have, whatever I get, it's yours. It's going to be used entirely for you. And things begin to happen immediately. We got the 50 grand that day. And we took it. Mike got 20 of it, and I got 30 of it. And we took it. We got an airplane. And we roared out, flew straight 14 hours. And they let us off at a place called Hong Kong.
That's a little village.
Of course, I didn't know what was going on yet, but I knew that we had to do that little thing first. And with the little thing, well, then we allow God to give us the gift of his riches. And that's what happened. I ain't going to tell you all about it, because that's none of my business. The commander can give you all the details and all the secrets when and if he decides to. We got there, and I think it was a Friday or a Saturday, so it began to work out immediately. We had a big meeting on a Sunday afternoon, and the holiday, and of all places. And everything that we had been talking about, and hoping for, and wondering about, and knowing real good would never happen, happened.
It is getting over that knowing it won't. Oh, precious ones, when you make it over that one hurdle, you've got it.
It all happened one Sunday morning in a hotel in Hong Kong. So after that was done, we had to sit around, we draw up the contracts and all this and all that. After that was done, we separated and sat around for a day or two and decided it wasn't safe there. So we got in another airplane, went to Manila. And over in Manila, and see, Mike and I had got into this together. What I said in the beginning, that what I am, what I have, what I'm going to get, it's yours, he did the same thing. And so we began then to operate as if... we're going back to Manila now. And you know, dumb, we don't know what's going to happen. And right before we get off the airplane, we pick up the Manila Bulletin. Here's a headline on one of the pages about a bunch of ETs. We're going to show up that night by appointment. Some lady by the name of Almeta. They had been seeing these people come in. Pila is the city. Province is Laguna. Province and state are the same thing. And this is all in the region of Luzon, which is about an hour and a half from Manila. And so we read the article. I says, Mike, look at here. It's a pretty clever thing here about these ETs and coming in at Pila, and it talked about that Miss Almeida, which is really not her right name, was saying that they were in touch with the ETs in Sananda, was the commander-in-chief, and that a liftoff of some type was the thing that they were all about and why they were showing up, et cetera, et cetera. And then they give you the clue, and Ashtar was the guy who was in charge. You can begin to see that you got to be careful and watchful all the time. Anyway, we faxed it in, and me here, and got an answer back immediately to kind of check it out. And you all read that particular factor when in the regular writings, in the daily writings. So we decided to go up there immediately, and that's what we did. And trying to find somebody who's giving you the wrong name in a place where you don't know who's who or what's what, or even the names of the villages. But we found this lady's house pretty quick and set up an appointment with her that evening, same day that we got there. And then we found another lady named Becky who had a villa there. And as it goes, Becky knew one of our friends, Joy, and so we went over to their house just to visit in between times till we go back to see Almeida that night. Well, Joy knows somebody else, two people by the name of Eddie and Millie. And as it turns out, Almeida is a phony, and Eddie and Millie are the genuine characters. It just seemed to happen for some reason or other that, of course, we can never understand or even try to. But if you do the little things, Father Eitan and the commander start setting up a situation for you. So as that, I'm going to let Mike tell you all about that because he's far better than I am. He's much gabbier than I am, too. He can talk forever.
Well, maybe I better get in there first then. I want you to get your clues. They also came back on the last day of their visit. And these were the papers that they brought back from just that last day. And you will notice Tuella's Ashtar book. That is a clue. It is not the clue that you wanted to hear, but that is a major clue. Now, either the news press or the speaker or the whole thing is BS. Well, the whole thing is not BS, just the silly nonsense that accompanies it. And I just want you to realize that what he said is extremely important, because what happened was the communications come through, and this is for Ed and Mike. The communications come through the same. It's spoken through in a frequency, and both sides can pick it up. And when this began to be put together, I have to tell you ones, that that's when they called this little identified flying object club and got 1,000 people out there. And this is what we face all the time, every time we try to arrange anything. And I'm warning you again, if you don't keep your mouth shut about location and this motion picture, we cannot come. Everybody hear me? There was no way to make rendezvous on that mountain. It is not time for the kind of show and tell that was already being touted. You know, we're going to give you a demonstration of people up the beam. Yeah, we were. I'll go even farther than that. You know, you don't come home from there with your pockets laden with money or secret treasures. Everything has to be worked out through the most incredible mass network of banks. We're going to have to take the whole transaction even out of Hong Kong and take it to China. Had we been able to work quietly, we could have brought them home with product. But you have to have a place of receiving. You have to have legitimate reason to have some metal. You can't just haphazardly go stand out there in the night and say, all right, here I am, don't hit me with it. Just put it within reach. Hopefully I won't even have to bend over. It don't work that way. This is a physical operation moving to the totally invisible operation. These are the ones we want to have it come together with. The others are immaterial. They are bringing in money for funding for some of the projects. There are hundreds of billions of dollars over there, and it's all tangled up. So don't, you know, think that God is going to shower you with 150 billion of it, because it ain't going to be that way either. What would you do with it? I bet all of you could think of how to spend about $150,000 right now. You know how much $1 billion is, even in your counting? Well, your national debt is $4 trillion and going up. Imelda Marcos is touted for having some $35 billion that the government knows about and wants to take away from her. And she bribes everybody. She pays off everybody. And she's got more than twice that much. Isn't it nice that everybody doesn't know where she keeps it? Well, we're talking like three or four different types of wealth and different ones managing this. In some instances, they manage very, very poorly. It's worse than putting all your eggs into one basket. They will make a trustee of one person as a sole trustee, for instance. And, of course, there's a good reason for keeping him alive, which maybe saves his life. On the other hand, it's sure a lot easier to confiscate the money that you know about if you get rid of him. So what do? You make him president of the country, if it ever shakes out. It's so corrupt that it's impossible, and everything in the Philippines came to a dead standstill. Now,
this is June 13th, 1992, and we're gathered at the usual bookstore place for a meeting with the commander. Greetings, Commander.
Good afternoon. Are we on? Do we have knock knock?
How about now? Yeah, all right. Maybe turn it down a little. I appreciate your coming. It looks like, regardless of how many weekends we thought we were going to have off to goof around, we don't seem to get any, do we? Or Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. I welcome new ones. I especially welcome back ones who've been here before. That means they weren't spooked completely out the first time. There's not any other way, precious friends, to have our meetings and cover some topics that we must cover in this little nucleus here. So I have to ask that you ones bear with us while we do a little catching up. I'm especially appreciative of this legal book. I think maybe it would be a good idea if, well, I don't know, Oberle, if he gets the floor, I may not get it back. We're making some progress on the property. The property itself is of no consequence as far as a dwelling is concerned. It suited the need for what was necessary at the time, and
the property upon which it sits is more valuable, actually, than any kind of dwelling that you could have on it. This would not seem to be the way it is if you are a mother and a grandmother and you need to live from day to day and have offices, etc. But it sits on the lower edge, the lower front edge of that crystal. And this was the placement that we chose. And we must have it, and we're going to have the land behind it. Have to is a silly statement. We don't have to have anything. All we need is a good relationship with God, and we've got everything. But I'd like to say that finally, in appeals court in Fresno, we won a round. They have granted a stay in spite of two or three rulings by Superior Court judges, which means that they have overruled those judges and have allowed a stay until such time as the appeal can be heard. They did several very unique things in the Fresno court. This would be a panel of judges, and they have requested all backup information in triplicate. That means that they fully intend to have each judge have the entire case as presented with the ability to go back and research it. The case in point is of zero importance other than what happens and what the law is allowed to do and how much corruption there is. You see, there's no way that you can get away without understanding that this one case is tangled up with the Santa Barbara Savings fiasco, which is hooked in with Keating fiasco, which is hooked in with Duke Majan, Ronald Reagan, and George Bush. But you have to understand that George Bush and Ronald Reagan are bitter enemies. They have two factions going in this nation of yours. One is the Zionist banking elite cartel. The other is the Zionist banking San Luis Obispo connection. And for ones of you who do get back to being lawyers, you'll appreciate the fact that William Clark, Justice William Clark of San Luis Obispo, is one probably of the most dangerous, vile men ever on your place. And this is the one who staged and then disappeared afterwards the Korean Airlines 007 big, phony, but very deadly operation. I could sit here and talk on and on about this. The important thing is, and what these lower court attorneys have been trying to do, is push through a case, a doctrine which has been basically approved up till now, and courts are working on the assumption that it is valid law. This is the way the courts act. They just act like it's law. And it's something called the Dench Doom, and they now call it a doctrine. If this becomes law, this means that any government, any savings and loan, any bank, any time that you could be a week late on your mortgage can come in and take your property, evict you, and basically you will not be heard in court. They can do it without allowing hearing. Now, is it really that bad? No, it's not that bad. It's worse. And that's what this case has come down to being. And from one judge to another, the instructions are passed. You're to rule against them, and you're to rule against them on the basis of the Dench Doom doctrine, so that when the case goes away, when these people finally give up, it will have become law, because there are cases waiting all over the United States to be ruled on according to the way this one goes.
So the attorneys are quite happy. They're working now around the clock. Mr. Tipps got to bed yesterday morning at 6 o'clock a.m. But they're beginning to learn something. One, you never assume anything. Two, you're always on top of the game. And three, you do whatever is required, because Hatton is relentless. I don't intend for you to lose. And you must win on the basis of what you have in this world where you experience. And there are ways to do it. I'm tired of quarreling with everyone. Nope, you can't do it that way. Oh, yes, you can. Let's show the world that you can. Let's quit giving me "we can't." I don't like that word. At any rate, we got to stay. They're in the house for at least 30 days, at which point then you take the next step. And then the next one, and then the next one. It isn't going to go away. But it can just hang in there forever, and we have some attorneys learning something, and you can tell that the Constitutional Law Center is making some impact just by having gotten into the Demjanjuk case. They seriously are considering giving that man his freedom instead of hanging him like they tried to do. And that's against the Israeli courts. So let's give them some great honor. They are working very, very hard, and they have their own special sets of problems up in that place in Sacramento. Everybody is working on their proverbial shoestring, and it's difficult, but we're going to get it done. I have several bits and pieces of news that we should mention here. Audrey and Eric are gone. You know that. They went to pick up Lee Mengay in Alabama. They flew down. That got confused, as all things do on your planet anymore. And they didn't arrive until midnight, and the Ryder truck rental place was completely confused, but that's fine because we had to find them. And by the fact that they were entangled, basically, Kathy was able to locate them, and then we could get messages back and forth. Mrs. Mengay will not be coming here, nor will the 10 dogs. So all of you can both feel a little bit sad and an awful lot of relief. I do not mean to be unkind, but this woman called the FBI and said that ones were expected out to kidnap her and abduct her to this foreign place and take all her money, etc. Now, she stirred up the town until it was incredible, and then called here and told ones in the office that when that Ryder truck showed up, they were going to have those people arrested, and she didn't know what to do about it. And she didn't know who'd done all this, and she didn't this, and she didn't that, when she did it herself. So Audrey and Eric went first to the sheriff. Now, I want you to hear this because of the humor involved. She said that the law would be out there with the FBI, and they had already been there, in fact, and this was all set up. And that's not quite the way it was. The sheriff said, "Oh, Mr. Peterson, I don't think you know what you're doing. But I'll not only take you out there, I will pay you to take her to California." Audrey and Eric began to suspect there might be a problem, and they really didn't know what to do about it. Now, I know that all of you are wondering, then why did we go through all of this pain and misery? Can you imagine how big a problem it is to get anything done through you ones? Let me just go down the list of things that this impacts. And just, I also have another humor, though. Another woman who is also 80 didn't like what was going on in her world either, and I believe she's in South Carolina, and she called and wanted to know if they could circle back by South Carolina and pick her up. That she had her house for sale and she's ready to come to California. So we have some wondrous information scattering across the world, and you're going to have to always evaluate whatever is confronting you. Now, why did I let this go so long? I'm going to start right at the top, and I hope you'll make sure that Eric and Audrey get this. They had arranged to be gone for a week. I have not been able to get the two of them to spend one solitary day alone in their own relationship in 5 years. So I said to them, shut it down. Do not even go back to the house. Don't cross go. Don't collect $200. Call the sheriff and send word that you were there. She had called the FBI herself, and therefore that is deceiving. And when you make effort to deceive God, it really doesn't pay. You see, what it proves is that she enjoys whatever confusion there is that goes on about her. She is continually into the sheriff's department. She causes trouble with her neighbors. They have offered even free of charge to get her a place and pull her trailer into town where she can be cared for. And she refuses. I'm not being unkind to her. I love her dearly. She has shared greatly with us, and she has given us an opportunity to really look at ourselves. And the greatest thing that ones in this place can pat yourself on the back is that you did everything you were asked to do. And God recognizes it. You did it without question, beyond, well, what in the world are we going to do with all those animals? But let's look at that. It caused you to go out and look to see what was available. The last place you looked was at the Turner property in Cummings Valley. It's an old piece of property. Some of you around this place will know Turner. You'll know his wife. She works for Allstate. But they go back a long, long way. But you see, what happened is that you found the perfect, perfect piece of property in Cummings Valley to begin what you need to begin, and the Inns family will be here to live on the 27th of this month. Mom and Dad will come with them to make their evaluation. They want to move also. Now, never underestimate the connections God sets up. Bob Turner has many children, like seven himself, that he raised out on that place. They're very, very well-to-do people, extremely successful, and he owns property across this nation. He was a professional football player, which some of you will really appreciate. Now that he's nearing 60, he's gotten, like so many humans, a little bit bigger around the middle and fewer muscles on the arms, you know. An extremely active man, extremely involved in everything ever in the past going on around this village. And it was a contact that it was time again to make. It was fun for me to watch he and Oberly doing the Tennessee Waltz while each tried to dig out of the other one what they knew about each other. You know, when you start name dropping and then neither will use any names, it gets a little nerve-wracking. But Bob is a reader of the Liberator, and he knew who Dharma is. His big concern is how many might end up out there on that piece of property. Well, no cult, no. I mean, I can't help it if Enzies have a whole bunch of kids, you know. That's their problem. But it's a family thing. He was a little worried about Leon, too, because Leon has tattoos. Leon, you know, he keeps giving us all these problems. So overly explained who Leon is, and, well, he allowed is how if you travel around in the circus that probably you'd end up getting a few tattoos. You know, there's some places acceptable for that, and that's like the Hell's Angel Motorcycle Gang, the Navy, and the circus. And for the rest of you, Leon is a high wire artist and did, in fact, until I asked him if he would relinquish it this summer, train Circus of the Stars people to do that. Don't ever think whatever you may be doing has no purpose. Everything is connected to everything. And there's always a reason. It may not be visible to you at the moment. I have here in front of me several things, if I can get her to look at them. We go through this periodically, you know, and I let her cop out. And I don't think I'm going to do that. We're going to have to struggle here till I can get her to look at them. And I'm not going to win. It's all right. We've written all morning. And then we have another half of tape dictated, so our days are just so long. I'll let it go for a minute. I'm going to ask in just a minute for George to give us an update. This group, I don't know what else to call it. You know, when you're in business and you are working and you have people in the offices whose jobs interchange and then it's separated, I don't know what else to call it but a group. But please don't think of it as the bookstore cult when we talk about the separation into Nevada, Carson City area, and that which will stay here. But I'm going to ask them about that in a minute because they have located a dwelling which they feel will be adequate. And I believe their intentions are to go about the time ends has come. There's going to be a lot of this going on, I guess. I've got two more pieces of document in front of me that I'm going to respond to at this meeting because I don't have time to sit and write personal letters. And yet we've got two sets of people who undoubtedly need to be here as we move along. Also, our famous priest, Father Cleary, had an opportunity to go over to the Philippines and to Hong Kong and around into that area and do some investigating for us. Because I'll lay it right where it's at, precious ones. The Philippines is where the new city will rise, out of Lemuria. I'm not going to give you a specific location. I pinned it down pretty much for them, and then I gave them a series of clues. What I did was really dump a heavy trip on them when they should have been out of there, because pretty soon these particular people had picked up CIA and tails all over, and Father Cleary's passport had expired a day, and it required bribery and a lot of threat on our part to leave him alone. We've got pull in the Philippines, precious ones. Don't for a minute forget it. And I don't care who's a spy and who isn't. Because for everyone, you've got two spies. We're not doing anything. This elite, government, military, whatever it is on your place, knows that we're no threat to them as such. They're going to go down anyway. And we offer some possibilities for some of them to, quote, hang in there and stay alive. But a lot of craft coming and going out of the Philippines these days, and especially off the southern islands of the Philippines. I believe that Ed described it as the ones on the little island thinking that the tour bus had arrived, filled with very handsome, very tall, blue-eyed, blonde-haired people. And it really helps their industry, tourism. Well, you're over in the world there where you are connected with what are called the Atmospherians, what I'm writing about right now, known as the Nephilim. Some of these cosmic objects are back in your neighborhood, and as you come into the cycle changing, it makes it very easy to change out the Nephilim. Some are dropped off, some are picked up, some are rearranged. You're in a time of interaction with the cosmic command and the fleet, and over there, you don't have the same problem that you do around this country. They all know us, and the Federation and Galactic Federation fleet are fully recognized. They just had a meeting on the mountain and got quite a light show. Had Ed been able to stay one more night, we would have picked him and his companion up. We had an arrangement to rendezvous, but it got too dangerous. But I would like Ed to share with us right now, he or Mike, whichever Mike was with him, and then we'll talk a little bit. You see, they are already in the reflection process of building there what you will be building here. They're already growing algaes. They're already building their security facilities. They're handling it a little bit differently because they had Mother Maria, Victoria, telling them what to do with the material, how to build, what kind of a support structure, what kind of a structure, and they built there for the, I would call it the tradition of the native element, the old Aboriginal element of honoring the eight directions. You thought you just had four, but you've got eight. And as the Plains Indians will build their teepees and their hogans with the eight wedges, this is the basic kind of dome structure they are building, with overhanging eaves, making porches around it. You're going to need this too. They are making it, I would call it, pie-shaped wedges, which form almost a pyramid on the top. But if you just look at it, and I have brought the drawings that Ed brought back here so that you architects can look at it and see that there are many variations of the dome structure that's very feasible. And these fit into slots exactly like Jack Donahue is building. And interestingly enough, from this Nephilim, this Atmospherian who dwelt with him, who spent time with him, they were given the ingredients, if you will, of the substance that protects from all fallout. So you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You just go with what you're allowed to put up now, and that can later be either sprayed on the top or sprayed from underneath. You don't have to consider that you are the only one in the world trying to do something. And it was extremely important that someone from here go over there and meet with those people. And Ed could do that. Ed and Mike both could do that because Ed is a priest. Once a priest, always a priest. Whether you like it or don't like it. But it's accepted there. And you see, the word Catholic simply means universal. I have a little trouble when I write Catholic and I want a little bitty letter. It's like Israel. You're the Israelis with a little I. You're the chosen. And Catholic, the word with a little C, simply means universal. And that one's going to come again. That one's going to be rebirthed. And I had to remind Ed not to get carried away, you know. Don't let the tool become the object. Keep the tool to achieve the goal. But I'd sure appreciate it. I'll shut my mouth and I'll let Ed tell you about a little bit about his trip. Maybe about the places of the lion and a few of these other things.
Yeah, the places of the lion. These are gorgeous places. They're everywhere. We got one right in our backyard. It's right behind Doris and Overly's house. Lions all over the place. This is David Wimble.
Hey.
In the mic, pardon. Yesterday we went walking and we came to a place of the lions. John was telling us they had 15 lions there. And so that'll come to something one of these days, too.
It most certainly will.
and
aren't you dying to know?
No, as dumb as I am, I know already exactly what that's for. I even told Mike about it this morning.
Well, I want you ones to know that that's a lot bigger than it looks on the side of that little hill. It was a little hill, wasn't it?
Yeah, we don't need to talk about it.
I mean, if you're a mountain climber, that was nothing.
Yes. But what I want to say, first of all, is thank God for you. Period.
Well,
bless you.
I'm going to accept that in behalf of my crew over here. We're going to have a lot of fun here on in.
We are really having fun. Not me, not Mike, but all of us are having fun. A few of us are beginning to get it. To really understand that, boy, this is really great.
Oh, well, I am so relieved. I thought it was never going to happen.
And it all starts like this. Father Eitan sort of bugs you and tells you, you're no good and you can't get anything done, and then all of a sudden you decide that you're going to do something. So around the 1st of May, and Mike comes along and he says, we got a problem. We got to get 50 grand somewhere. So I says, well, if we got to get it, I guess we got to get it. So I call up all my friends and ask each one of them, I need 50 grand. Will you give it to me or won't you? And they all said no.
Right.
And Mike calls up all his friends and they all say no. But we still need the 50 G's. Because if we don't get it, why, it's not going to happen. So I had a big talk with Father Eitan one morning and says, we're going to do it today. And regardless, whatever I am, whatever I have, whatever I get, it's yours. It's going to be used entirely for you. And things begin to happen immediately. We got the 50 grand that day. And we took it. Mike got 20 of it, and I got 30 of it. And we took it. We got an airplane. We roared out, flew straight 14 hours, and they let us off at a place called Hong Kong.
That's a little village.
Of course, I didn't know what was going on yet, but I knew that we had to do that little thing first. And with the little thing, why then, we allow God to give us the gift of his riches. And that's what happened. I ain't going to tell you all about it, because that's none of my business. The commander can give you all the details and all the secrets when and if he decides to. We got there, and I think it was a Friday or a Saturday, so it began to work our immediately. We had a big meeting on a Sunday afternoon, and the holiday, and of all places. And everything that we had been talking about and hoping for and wondering about and knowing real good would never happen, happened.
It is getting over that knowing it won't. Oh, precious ones, when you make it over that one hurdle, you've got it.
It all happened one Sunday morning in the hotel in Hong Kong. So after that was done, we had to sit around, we draw up the contracts and all this and all that. After that was done, we separated and sat around for a day or two and decided it wasn't safe there. So we got in another airplane, went to Manila. And over in Manila, and see, Mike and I had got into this together. What I said in the beginning, that what I am, what I have, what I'm going to get, it's yours, he did the same thing. And so we began then to operate as if... We're going back to Manila now. And, you know, dumb, we don't know what's going to happen. And right before we get off the airplane, we pick up the Manila Bulletin. Here's a headline on one of the pages about a bunch of ETs. We're going to show up that night by appointment with some lady by the name of Almeta. They had been seeing these people come in. Pila is the city. Province is Laguna. Province and state are the same thing. And this is all in the region of Luzon, which is about an hour and a half from Manila. And so we read the article. I says, Mike, look at here. It's a pretty clever thing here about these ETs and coming in at Pila. And it talked about that Miss Almeida, which is really not her right name, was saying that they were in touch with the ETs, and Sananda was the commander-in-chief, and that a liftoff of some type was the thing that they were all about and why they were showing up, et cetera, et cetera. And then they give you the clue, and Ashtar was the guy who was in charge. You can begin to see that you got to be careful and watchful all the time. Anyway, we faxed it in and me here and got an answer back immediately to kind of check it out. And you all read that particular factor when in the regular writings, in the daily writings. So we decided to go up there immediately, and that's what we did. And trying to find somebody who's giving you the wrong name in a place where you don't know who's who or what's what, or even the names of the villages. But we found this lady's house pretty quick and set up an appointment with her that evening, same day that we got there. And then we found another lady named Becky who had a villa there, and as it goes, Becky knew one of our friends, Joy, and so we went over to their house just to visit in between times till we go back to see Almeida that night. Well, Joy knows somebody else, two people by the name of Eddie and Millie, and as it turns out, Almeida is a phony, Eddie and Millie are the genuine characters. It just seemed to happen for some reason or other that, of course, we can never understand or even try to. But if you do the little things, Father Eitan and the commander start setting up the situation for you. So as that, I'm going to let Mike tell you all about that because he's far better than I am. He's much gabbier than I am, too. He can talk forever.
Well, maybe I better get in there first then. I want you to get your clues. They also came back on the last day of their visit. And these were the papers that they brought back from just that last day. And you will notice Tuella's astral book. That is a clue. It is not the clue that you wanted to hear, but that is a major clue. Now, either the news press or the speaker or the whole thing is BS. Well, the whole thing is not BS, just the silly nonsense that accompanies it. And I just want you to realize that what he said is extremely important, because what happened was the communications come through, and this is for Ed and Mike. The communications come through the same. It's spoken through in a frequency, and both sides can pick it up. And when this began to be put together, I have to tell you ones, that that's when they called this little identified flying object club and got 1,000 people out there. And this is what we face all the time, every time we try to arrange anything. And I'm warning you again, if you don't keep your mouth shut about location and this motion picture, we cannot come. Everybody hear me? There was no way to make rendezvous on that mountain. It is not time for the kind of show and tell that was already being touted. You know, we're going to give you a demonstration of people up the beam. Yeah, we were. I'll go even farther than that. You know, you don't come home from there with your pockets laden with money or secret treasures. Everything has to be worked out through the most incredible mass network of banks. We're going to have to take the whole transaction even out of Hong Kong and take it to China. Had we been able to work quietly, we could have brought them home with product. But you have to have a place of receiving. You have to have legitimate reason to have some metal. You can't just haphazardly go stand out there in the night and say, all right, here I am, don't hit me with it. Just put it within reach. Hopefully I won't even have to bend over. It don't work that way. This is a physical operation moving to the totally invisible operation. These are the ones we want to have it come together with. The others are immaterial. They are bringing in money for funding for some of the projects. There are hundreds of billions of dollars over there, and it's all tangled up. So don't, you know, think that God is going to shower you with 150 billion of it, because it ain't going to be that way either. What would you do with it? I bet all of you could think of how to spend about $150,000 right now. You know how much $1 billion is, even in your counting? Well, your national debt is $4 trillion and going up. Imelda Marcos is touted for having some $35 billion that the government knows about and wants to take away from her. And she bribes everybody. She pays off everybody. And she's got more than twice that much. Isn't it nice that everybody doesn't know where she keeps it? Well, we're talking like three or four different types of wealth and different ones managing this. In some instances, they manage very, very poorly. It's worse than putting all your eggs into one basket. They will make a trustee of one person as a sole trustee, for instance. And, of course, there's a good reason for keeping him alive, which maybe saves his life. On the other hand, it's sure a lot easier to confiscate the money that you know about if you get rid of him. So what do? You make him president of the country. If it ever shakes out, it's so corrupt that it's impossible. And everything in the Philippines came to a dead standstill. Now,